I thank God for this privilege to share God's word with you. And before I share God's word with you, I myself have been much blessed in the preparation of this message, because this message has been experienced and internalized in my heart, in my life, especially for the past few months. And we look at Romans chapter 8, and we look at verse 26. That's where we read corporately just now. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And let us understand the context, the content of these various verses, and to see how the Lord would want us to embrace the truth and live it out. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We are looking at this topic called victory in Jesus. And when we hear the word victory, it would of course mean that there is a struggle. There is a battle. There is a competition. That at the end of it all, there is victory. And it is with this understanding that we come to the understanding of these various passages that we have read. And verse 26, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. Our pastor has started a series on the Holy Spirit. And I've been particularly ministered to, and hope that you are also, that the Holy Spirit in us is powerful. He is God, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And likewise here, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And the infirmities here would be our weaknesses. When are we weak? It is when we could not face, we could not tackle those struggles, those challenges that may come our way. And we feel weak because we seem to be losing. But here, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And what does the Holy Spirit do? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We thank God that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit himself, maketh intercession for us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our troubles. He knows our... He knows that when we struggle on our own, humanly speaking, it is almost like a person who is stuck in a miry clay, in a quicksand. And the more he struggles on his own, the further he will sink. And the more he lift up his hand and say, God, help me. And God lift him up. Then he would have help. But in the midst of that trouble and challenges and difficulties in life, here is it that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes we do not know even how to pray. We are lost for words because the pain is too much. We are lost for words because we just do not know how and which direction to go. And how should we respond to such a situation? But here the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. These groanings, you and I will never truly be able to understand. But certainly not the charismatic tongues. Here it is groanings that the Holy Spirit prayed for us. Verse 26, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes when we pray and when we go through the various challenges of life, we are unsure exactly what is the will of God for us. But here, we thank God for the Holy Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so we know that if we have the Holy Spirit in us, and when he prays, when he commune with the Lord, he will direct us, lead us, guide us to the will of God. And the will of God is the best for us. His ways are perfect. Our ways are not. And in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The emphasis here I'd like to show you is, and we know all things work together for good. All things. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. A Christian, a believer, a person who has believed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit lives in him. And whatever things, all things work together for good. And that includes difficult times. When it is good time, when it is sunshine, it is so easy for us to recite this verse. But when it is tough, when the going is dark, we just do not know where the light at the end of the tunnel is, can we still say this? Yes, indeed, that this is the Word of God, and we should embrace this promise. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And just before the service began, we had pre-service singing. And I'd like you to turn to the hymn 491. Because there is a lesson there that pertains to this verse 28. And hymn 491, the song is entitled, Does Jesus Care? And right at the left-hand, top left-hand corner, we see Frank E. Graff, 1860 to 1919. He wrote this hymn. Who is Reverend Frank Graff? He was a minister in the Methodist denomination and served some of its leading churches in the Philadelphia Conference, and throughout the district, he was known as the Sunshine Minister. And he is a very happy, joyous pastor. Whenever people look at him, it's always with a smile, always with encouragement, always with strength in the Lord. And he is given a nickname, Sunshine Minister. But why did he write this hymn? Does Jesus care? Do you know that in spite of this outwardly cheery disposition and winsome personality, this Reverend Frank Graff was often called upon to go through a personal, individual, severe testing experiences in his life. And as a leader and as a pastor, he will stand up there and go to the people with much joy, smile on his face, sunshine minister. When he goes through those difficult moments, who knows? Who could understand? Who could he speak to? And he wrote this hymn after he meditated on a portion of the scripture. And as we have read also a while ago, and I'll read to you again. And the portion of scripture is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 10, and especially verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Reverend Frank Graff has gone through very, very difficult moments in his life. And for that, he was humbled before the Lord. He learned how to cast his care upon the Lord. And he knew that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And especially being a pastor, this might be the target. And verse 9, and verse 10, but God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Is it easy to hear these kind of lessons? Yes. But is it easy to go through? No. And in the time when he was very deeply in distress, he wrote, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the day grows weary and long." In the midst of suffering, and when the suffering goes weary and the suffering goes long, that suffering is hard to bear. And when we go through it, realizing that it will be over for a day, we might be able to tolerate. For a few days, we'll try our best. For 1 week, we are weary. And if it goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and years, and the day grows weary and long. And he echoed in this chorus, "Oh yes, he cares." And that's taken from Philippians. "I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief." And this is the part when we just now read that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit knows our heart. The Spirit knows what to pray and how to minister to us. "I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief, and the days are weary and the long nights dreary. I know my Savior cares." Do you know that this is one of the hymns that I really dare not sing? Many a time when I choose hymns in church, this is one of the hymns that I dare not choose. Why? Because if these things come to my life, I find that it's going to be so difficult. It's going to be so hard. It said, verse 2, "Does Jesus care when my way is dark?" And what kind of dread and fear? A nameless dread and fear. And the dread and fear, we cannot even define it. And sometimes when we are buffeted, when we go through that, it is so hard even to explain what that might be. As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Is it does, especially verse 4, "Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is this aught to him? Does he see?" And the echo, "Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." And through it all, Reverend Frank Graff and others who have gone through difficult times know that, and we know that all things work together for good. But it is so difficult. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to pray for us, pray with us, enable us, strengthen us. Without the Holy Spirit's ministry, we will crumble, we will fall. And verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine it to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Why does God allow us to go through difficult times in our lives? That in that challenge, in that difficulty, just when we think that all is lost and we are down right into the pits, we must understand this. God allows it. And God allows us to go through that so that we might be conformed to the image of his Son, to be more Christ-like. You read today's article in the bulletin. It is an abstract from the message from the Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon. And you don't have to read it now, but you go back and you read. The essence of it is that how real are we as Christians? And I personally find that to experience God's word leaping out alive to me is usually not when the sun is shining. It's not when everything is plain sailing. It is when we go through difficult times. So difficult, so utterly difficult, that we can only come to God and say, God, help me. Lord, I need you. And we do not know even how to pray. And that's where the Holy Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I mentioned just now that I dare not sing this song. But there was a one night that I sang this. And I was out in the park about 2 months ago. And the Lord really convicted me, strengthened me, helped me in that 1 odd hours of prayer in the night with tears in my eyes. Why? Just as Reverend Graf has gone through this, I thank God for the privilege to go through this. It's my son. Many of you do not know. And today, he mentioned to me these few days. He said, Daddy, you may now share with the church that they may know and that they may pray for me and that through these difficult times in our lives, church members will know that our God is real. I said, Abel, are you sure? He said, yes, Daddy. I cannot go to a further pit already. My son has gone through deep depression and has been struggling that for many a month, and especially so over the last 2 months. Does Jesus care? I know. Oh yes, he cares. I dare not sing the last stanza. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye? I almost lost my son. And it was on my birthday. He attempted. I helped him. I pulled him outside the window and pulled him back with all my strength. It is difficult times. And the reason that we do not want to share with you until now is because we need a moment. We need a time with the Lord. We need a private time. He was sent to hospital. It was difficult. We could only share with one person, Pastor Paul. He came and ministered to him. We prayed. We have done all that we could, medically, spiritually, physically, emotionally. Sometimes even to the extent that I postponed the Bible study session. The members of my Bible study, they're very, very close to my family. They were wondering why I postponed certain times. Now you may know, that was a time when he was in hospital. We had to rush every day. And last Wednesday, when I was supposed to have prayer meeting, I could not come. And I asked Pekang to send out a note. And the note merely said that it's an unforeseen circumstances. There are many struggles, my dear friend. I have gone through it, And verse 28 means so much to me, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And even now, he's resting at home. Even now, there is a struggle that could not get out. It's in deep depression. And sometimes I have to tell you, Wing, for choir, I'm so sorry, I cannot attend again. Because just after basic Bible knowledge class, I've got text, Daddy, please come back. I don't think I can do it anymore. I rushed back. Who knows? The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit ministered to Abel's heart. Holy Spirit ministers to my heart, to my family's heart. And through it all, the whole family drawn closer together. And Abel has been such a wonderful darling to us. And here we experienced that the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God, what is thy will? Why? Then we ask ourselves, how come we ask the question why? We should not be asking the question why. The question will be, God, how can I go through this? The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Many a time I will just hug him, embrace him, prayed. Last night, we knelt down before the bedside and prayed, God, help. That's all we can say, God, help. And in verse 30 of Romans 8, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? What shall we then say to all these things that the Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts, that God knows exactly what is best for us, that all things work out for good? What shall we then say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Not even depression can be against us. I had the opportunity to talk to a pastor. And this pastor is a very dear friend of mine. And this pastor himself has gone through depression in his younger days for many months. So when I met him, and before I even shared, he shared with me what he went through. And I said, that's exactly what my son is experiencing and what I'm experiencing as a caregiver and helper. And then he said that one thing which I fully understand. No one will be able to minister to someone in depression unless that person has gone through it himself. You'll never, ever be able to understand how the mind works when a person is going through depression. And I said that, thank you for sharing. And I know that God has a purpose. And I said that, Abel, God allow you to go through all this for a purpose. And straight away, Abel said that, I want to thank God. Even though it's so difficult, I want to thank God that every word that is read from the Bible came out alive. Every hymn that we sing, the words came out alive. For that, he said that, Daddy, I thank God. And I embraced him. I hugged him. And I say that, thank God that you realize that through this, You did not curse God. You did not blame God. But you find that God, you're even closer to God. For indeed, we know that all things work together for good. In the hospital for almost 3 weeks, coming home, the struggle. And there was a time that I just drove him straight to JB, Johor Bahru, at my mom's place, because it is on land. The house is on land. If he jumps, it'll just be on land. And those kind of moments, those kind of experiences, it's so hard. And then as we go through Romans chapter 8, I see that verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And there came another hymn that I sang on that night when I was alone in the park and crying for 1 hour, literally crying my heart out with tears, buckets of it. And this has also become Abel's favorite hymn. Turn to 501. God leads us along. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. And I said that, Abel, morning will come. There will be light at the end of the tunnel. Though now it is dark, but morning will come. And that was the message I was trying to bring forth at prayer meeting, but I couldn't. And the watchmen, and we even watch for the morning more than they that were put on duty to watch for the morning. We're just waiting for that morning, and we know that God will bring that morning. And verse 2, sometimes on the mound where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. And that's why just now we read from Isaiah chapter 43. And in Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2, especially verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Verse 2 says, when. It is not if thou passest through the waters. It is when. Each one of us will go through the waters of our life, will go through the rivers of our life, will go through the fire of our lives. When we go through, when we passed through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Coming back to this hymn on 501, you see up there, right hand and top left hand corner, Reverend G.A. Young. Reverend G.A. Young, when he was preaching to a small community, very small church, and he was very poor. And when he grew old with his wife, they built a small little cottage on top of the hill. And that's all they had. And they went out preaching again, as usual. And they came back one after the preaching journey and saw that their house was burned down. They were burned down by the young hooligans in that town that don't like his message. And Reverend J.A. Young and his wife knelt down there, the tears in their eyes, saw the whole house burned. And through that experience, Reverend J.A. Young wrote this hymn. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. And here in verse, we go through now Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When we go through difficult moments in our life and challenges and battle, we do not know where the victory will be. We do not even know whether we can conquer it, because it is so difficult. So here it's written, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Our Lord Jesus Christ loves us more than we love ourselves, know us more than we know ourselves. 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? That is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That is the time that when I meditate upon this verse, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I find that many a time is when times are wonderful, when times are super good, it's as if we don't need God. That's a time that we will stray away from God. That's a time that we sin against God. But I have personally experienced it, as many of the Bible heroes, Elijah, went through depression, and how God ministered unto Elijah after he was so afraid of hearing this horrible queen Jezebel coming to kill her. He had panic attack, ran away, wanting to take his own life. And when I saw and read about Elijah, I encouraged my own son. And he himself go through that panic attack. And he says, son, can you control yourself? No. It becomes involuntary, that panic. And I can tell you, it pains my heart. Pains so much. All I can do is to hug and pray for him. Medicine can only do to a certain limit. But we know that God can. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No, tribulation will bring us closer to God. Distress? It's so hard to say I thank God for distress. It's this that will bring us back to God. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. There was one time that the Chinese ministry in China, there was a pastor who went there and said that the Singaporeans are praying for you, that in your persecution, you will not forget God, and they are praying for blessings upon you. Then the Chinese folks in China say that, please let the Singaporeans know that we are praying for them. Then the pastor say that, why are you praying for them? They are quite peaceful and enjoying life and having a good time. He said, that's what will separate them and help them forget about God. May God have mercy upon them. I certainly can testify of that. That is through these difficult moments in my life and in our family's life that we are drawn very much closer to the Lord, because there's no other help. No other help. God alone will help. as it is written, verse 36. For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I said, Abel, we have victory in Jesus. We can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. So I begin to try to understand what is more than conquerors. In all these things we are conquerors. That is understandable, because when we go through this and when we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we see get to the end, the light at the end of the tunnel, we are conqueror. But God's words say that here, we are more than conquerors. What does that mean? Well, I meditated on this. And could it be, when God's words say more than conquerors, you know, when a person goes through battle, he may lose an arm, lose an eye, or have internal injury, and yet win the battle, have victory, and come back as a lame soldier. But as a Christian soldier, and as a Christian who's going through this kind of battle, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What could be lost? It is not the limbs, it's not the physical part, it's the spiritual part. And what is that thing that would be lost? Our only loss is dross. And what is dross? It's like gold, silver, metal, going through a fire, a furnace to burn, and then all the rubbish and all the dross will be burned off. That will be our loss. And what a glorious loss, because in that loss, there is great gain. Huge gain. And the gain to be more Christ-like. The gain to be more, much closer to the Lord. William Cooper, one of the favorite hymns that we have been singing, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." William Cooper has gone through depression after depression after depression in his life. His parents died. Later on, he was taken care of by an auntie. Auntie loved him so much. Auntie died. He's left with no one, and the depression came on like waterfall. It just doesn't stop coming. It just like waterfall pouring down on him. And John Newton, the writer, the pastor who wrote Amazing Grace, said, "William, you come to my home. I'll take care of you like my own son." And William Cooper found solace, find comfort in the home of John Newton. And he wrote many songs, many hymns with John Newton. But the song that he ministered to our church especially so much is, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." It is through times of difficulties that we can pen such beautiful, wonderful hymns, words that reflect the beauty, the hope in God. And verse 38, "For I am persuaded," conclusion, "persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities," principalities means those power in the air, the devils, "nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It can't separate us from the love of God. Many a time when I read through this, it became only head knowledge. Yes, I understood every word that is written. I understood what those sentences mean. One day, Abel asked me, "Sir Daddy, will you still care for me if this goes on for several more months?" I say, "Yes, I will." He said, But will you care for me if it goes into 1 year? I'll care for you. And he hugged me. I said, God cares for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing of these can separate us from the love of God. I said, Abel, how can I forsake you? I'll always be there for you. I'm your daddy. I'll be there for you. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I say, thank you, Lord. You will not forsake me. Thank you for giving me this experience to know that what it means to a very, very small degree that I too will not forsake my own son. Whatever thing, difficulties that he may face, I'll be there for him. Just like you are always there for me, Lord. Victory in Jesus is when we know that we can be more than conquerors. Not only conquerors, more than conquerors. Because through it all, our only loss is the dross. The dross and the rubbish in that metal. And that's why Job even says that he will come forth as gold. Abel asked me, Daddy, how long did Job go through his sufferings? I honestly don't know. But it was for a season of time. Then he said that, well, Nebuchadnezzar gone through several years. I said, yes. Elijah, God helped him, snap him out of it and continue to serve the Lord. I said, I do not know how long Job suffered. But then he said, how long will I suffer? I said, neither will I know. But we know that we have our hope in God. One day, God will glorify himself to grant you that total healing. And while we are in it, we know that we are this journey. We're going to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And as I was meditating, I look at some pointers on how we can have victory in Jesus after looking at these various passages. Friends, the first one really is we befriend Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 13 to 15. John chapter 15, verses 13 to 15. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe in him, he called us friends. And verse 13 of John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. There lies the victory in Jesus. If ye do whatsoever I command you, verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. If we can find a pointer for victory in Jesus, have Jesus Christ as your friend. Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to church in and out, but have not believed in him? come. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that's why we can become more than conquerors. Second point, be filled with the mind of Christ. And what does it mean to be filled with the mind of Christ? Let us turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, in the New Testament. Philippians. Chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, from verses 6 to 9. Filled ourselves with the mind of Christ to have victory in Jesus. Let us read this together from 6 right through to 9. Ready, go. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Soak our mind with the promises of God. Soak our minds with the Word of God and pray that we be filled with the mind of Christ, having confidence in Him. The hymn writers also wrote that, and it's William Cooper again, God moves in a mysterious way. And indeed, because we cannot see the end from the beginning, but God is the one who holds tomorrow. God is the one who knows the end from the beginning. His ways are perfect. And His ways may be mysterious to us, but certainly not mysterious to Him. And it's only for our spiritual benefit. And it's like Romans 8:28. It will work out for good to us. And the last point about victory in Jesus is count our blessings. Count our blessings one by one. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Let's read this together. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When we look at Reverend G.A. Young, who wrote God Leads Us Along, when we look at Reverend Graff, who wrote Does Jesus Care, they exhorted us, they encouraged us, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Intellectually, we can process that. But when we're going through that difficult moment ourselves, it is so hard. So Abel told me, Daddy, it's a very strange thing, but I thank God for what I'm going through. I say, thank God that God has enabled you, the Holy Spirit has enabled you to even say thank God for the trials that you're going through. There is a famous hymn that is written at the back of this bulletin. It's entitled Victory in Jesus. It was written by Mr. Bartlett. Mr. Bartlett is a successful music teacher and music businessman. He wrote many hymns and helped many to publish their hymns. And he's a very happy man. And life seems to be going on well with him. In 1939, something happened to him. When he was 56 years old, I think that some of us here are around that age, he had a stroke. And that stroke rendered Mr. Bartlett partially paralyzed and unable to perform or to travel. In that most difficult time of his life, he wrote the words, Victory in Jesus. And look at verse stanza 2. It's, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow, Jesus came and brought to me the victory. The most famous hymn of Mr. Bartlett was written when he was in that situation. And 58 years old, that shows about 1 odd year later, 2 years, he died and gone home to be in glory with the Lord, seeing the Lord. And this hymn was written to this optimistic tune. He was a music teacher, and he knows how to write a very optimistic tune, Victory in Jesus. Because when we go through difficult times and we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, it is victory. It's more than conqueror. And that's how we should praise and worship the Lord. And we see afterwards when we sing this hymn, let us sing with that understanding that while we seek to walk close with the Lord, it is usually not in times when the sun shines so brightly. It is when we are going through difficult moments in our lives. And when we are going through that, understand and realize that God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And it's always, His ways are perfect, and it's always done to our good. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, many a time we do not know fully the way you work in our lives. But one thing we do know, everything that you allow us to go through, and especially difficult times, is for our good. And thou hast promised us thou wilt be with us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And we are assured of that. We are comforted. And in times when we cannot pray aloud, we are lost of words to pray. Thy Holy Spirit, who knows our infirmities, will pray with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank Thee, Holy Spirit. Thank Thee for Thy ministry in our lives. And thank Thee for the victory in Jesus that we can claim, because Thou hast already won it for us, and Thou hast said that we are more than conquerors. Through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us all arise to sing Victory in Jesus.